Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Gabriel Fauré, the composer of the Requiem, which we hear in its fullness this evening, spent most of the 1880s living as most musicians did, cobbling together work at the Church of the Madeleine in Paris, work as a composer struggling to make his works known, and the necessary work that musicians face of teaching young people the craft. He was least fond of one of those. I'll let you guess which. Children didn't practice enough back then either. Musicians, was that not a little bit funny? But there in the midst of the 1880s, personal tragedy struck Gabriel. His father died in 1885, and his mother 2 years after. He claims that it was accidental that a short time after that he began composing this work. But certainly him facing death and those who brought him into this world would have had a great impact on him. And so he spent much of the late 1880s composing this work in different parts along the way, with different musicians and instruments being added along the years. And by the end of the 1880s, had composed this piece which we hear today. But the critics were not fond of it. And in the early 1890s, he was asked at an interview why his Requiem, why his piece about death, wasn't more harsh or scary. And he replied in an interview, "It has been said that my Requiem does not express the fear of death, and indeed someone has called it the lullaby of death. But it is thus that I see death, as a happy deliverance, an aspiration towards happiness above, rather than as a painful experience." Tonight, sisters and brothers, we hear what Fauré called himself a lullaby of death. And in the beauty of those words, I pray that we find comfort in what Fauré expressed in this interview. Because the brokenness and sin and pain of the world, the way with death is brought upon us, whether it is unexpected, whether it is in chaos, whether it is in violence, whether it is in tragedy or addiction or brokenness, whether the care wasn't available or the diagnosis was missed, we often find ourselves angry at a time of death. Anger is a natural reaction and part of our grief process. But if we think about how we calm a little one who themselves is angry or crying or doesn't have it all together, we hearken back to sing a lullaby. And so, my friends, in the brokenness and anger of death in this world, in the anger that the ones whom we love, the 47 names who we will read aloud this evening, and so many more in your own lives, and those we read and hear about, and those whose lives we never knew, in the midst of all that death, can we find peace? When we're taught to grieve, we're often taught that grieving needs to be a process of action and activity, of doing things. But Requiem, in its root, in its Latin meaning, means rest. And so we gather tonight to be reminded in our grief and in our loss to rest, and to let the power of the gospel lullaby sustain us in our times of grief and sorrow. Just as Jesus came before his dear friends, Mary and Martha, and said that his friend, their brother Lazarus, would raise from the dead. And there, in his simple words and action, Jesus brings a sense of peace to those who mourn. And we know that death does not receive the same treatment in our lives. What this resurrection experience reminds us of is that Jesus is with us in death and invites us to rest in him. The beauty of our funeral liturgy is if you pay attention to it, you see over and over again the words rest and comfort and peace. When we commit somebody's body or ashes to their resting place, we are reminded that that is not the end of the journey. For we rest for what is to come. We rest for what we dream because we know. And that is the gift of the corresponding text which sit with this passage from John this evening. The passages that Bill Stevens read just a moment ago from Isaiah and Revelation, because they are gifts of the apocalypse. An apocalypsis in its Greek root simply literally means an uncovering, a pulling back. And that is the dream we see in Isaiah, in these chapters which are called the Apocalypse of Isaiah, and in the Apocalypse of Revelation, the unveiling of a dream, a promise that all of the brokenness and things that are lifted up in life that divide us will be torn down and destroyed, and we will see things being made new. We will wait and yearn for things that are of a feast nature, of joy and of promise. And in both the words of Isaiah and in both the words of Revelation, rest is given to us in the gift of a dream. In what these two authors have penned, we are given a promise of something greater than we can ever imagine. Like a story told to a child with a truly happy ending, so too is the promise of this story. And so in the midst of pain and grief in the world, to hear Faure's idea that this would not be just another hard piece to hear, nothing to fear, but rather the gift of a lullaby, the gift of something sweet, the gift that brings us rest, requiem. And so as we grieve, as time passes, as these names which we lift up tonight and those that are held in your hearts over countless generations continue to be lifted to the Lord, we rest in our lives. We rest easy, knowing that Christ has claimed these names and names before them, all the saints, just as Christ claimed Lazarus. That they are free of their wounds, that they are unbound and let go to experience the fullness of these dreams which we hear of in Isaiah and in Revelation. And to know that that's just a glimpse, a small unveiling of what the kingdom of God promises to be. And so in these words, and in this evening, we are called to a time of rest, a time of peace, a time to be sharing in this gift of music that has gathered our community together tonight, and in the gift of the Lord's Supper that in we partaking of together is a promise of God's love for us. And so let us rest and let us dream, knowing that even in our grief and sorrow, we have nothing to fear. Thanks be to God. Amen.